We kind of been getting into what are the differences and the ministries and things of that nature. There's a certain reason why I'm doing this, mainly because the established position that we've had for many, many years is being challenged today. And, you know, it's interesting when you talk about grace churches. When I hear trouble in grace churches, I don't ever hear about this denomination. So you can name the denomination you want to name. Name it. Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever. I never hear about one of those denominations trying to come in and influence or corrupt that church or that Bible study. Never. Now, I'm not saying you haven't had people of that faith come in and get in an argument with the preacher teacher because he's preaching contrary to what they've been established on, but they do what? They leave. Ultimately, if they don't believe it and conform to the teaching, they leave. So what I've seen is that most of the problem that exists today in churches, our, you know, grace churches and Bible classes, come from within. Somebody seeing something new, a new revelation, a new understanding. And so consequently, they cause a ruckus, they split it, and, you know, it hurts the fellowship. Well, there's teaching going on around now that, you know, is causing divisions and splitting things up. And so that's why I'm motivated in doing the studies that I'm doing. That's really the push or the motivation behind me. If you're not emotional about it, you may not even be clued in on it, so you don't have that conviction. You don't have to have the conviction to learn these things, but at the same time, if you knew some of the stuff going on, hopefully it would kind of stir your pot a little bit too. It would kind of get you, kind of your motor running a little bit of what's going on. So that's what's happened to me. I've got kind of juiced up about this to a degree that I just think that the stronger I build the foundation of this church, meaning the men and women in this church, the stronger the church will be. And so I've got to teach on these so that, you know, we can have an undergirding in this church that when it happens, and it will happen, and come in and challenge us, it's not just me that knows it. It's not that I can't fight the fight. I mean, I can do that. Boy, it's something when someone comes in and they think they can throw the preacher down in front of people, and then you got men in here that come up and outflank them with the truth that they're established on, and all of a sudden it's not just me. They go, no, well, what about this verse? What about this? And boom, boom, boom. Then they start backing down, and I've seen that, and that's how you handle those type situations. So it's good to have everybody up and strengthened in this rightly divided thing that we do. So with that said, we've been talking about the differences. If you would, look in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew 26, look in verse 69. In Matthew 26, verse 69, says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. In other words, your speech kind of gives you away. We heard how you talk. You talk like them. And in verse 74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Why do you think he wept bitterly? Why do you think this was such a detrimental thing to Peter? Well, obviously, you can really put it in a simple little solution bowl here and go, well, he denied the Lord. Well, that's true, but I think it's bigger than that, and it has to do with denying the Lord. For instance, go to Matthew chapter 10. Now, remember, Peter had been with the Lord throughout his ministry, so all the teachings of Jesus Christ, until he got Peter to join with him, which in Matthew 10, Peter was with them as a disciple at that time. So whatever is taught in Matthew chapter 10, Peter was there. So Peter knew the teaching of Jesus Christ, is what I'm saying. So why was that denial of Jesus Christ so detrimental to Peter? Well, in Matthew chapter 10, look over in verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Now watch this. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Well, what did Peter do back there in Matthew 26? He denied him before men, right? Well, you remember he heard the words of he recalled the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Peter's got a memory. He recalls things. He recalled what Jesus Christ said. When the cock crows three times, you will have denied me. Well, he remembered, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. I mean, Peter was in a strait, folks. He was in a terrible situation based upon that doctrinal truth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I had someone ask me, and this is one of those that has branched out and got this new revelation, you know, that Brother Moore knew nothing about, Obed doesn't know anything about, and the rest of us don't know anything about. We're all wrong. So instead of asking me in a general, I want to know the answer, it was like, so the Bible says, Matthew 10, verse 32 there, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you. So Peter denied him. How did he get saved? Well, are you asking me? Or are you doing like the Pharisees did with Jesus? Yeah, Yeah, the law says this, but what say you? And they're trying to get. Well, that's the spirit of the thing. And the thing about it is, he didn't know the answer, but he was trying to corner me. Well, look in Luke chapter 23. I mean, I knew the answer, and I shouldn't have given it to him, to be perfectly honest with you. You know the old saying, don't cast your pearls before the swine, right? Sometimes you know the answer, and it's like you want to get, but what are they going to do with the truth? They've already trampled it before they got to you, so why give them any more? Luke 23. Look in we're going to just start in verse 33. This is when Christ is being led up to the cross. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he beckoned to the Father to forgive them. And that's exactly what God did. He forgave everybody that had their hands involved in the innocent blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And them doing that, rejecting the Lord, they denied the Lord before men. Well, I mean, Pilate asked them, what do you want me to do with your king, Jesus? He's not our king. We don't have any king but Caesar. What do you want me to do with Jesus then? Crucify him. Release to us the murderer. They denied him before men. Well, folks, that's what Peter did, right? He denied him before men. So when Jesus hung on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Therefore, they were forgiven of that denial. So what did it do? It opened the door, so to speak. People got a guy going, rapture isn't in the Bible. You know, we all use words that's not really in the Bible and sort of coin phrases, but when you teach it, you're teaching it correctly. If I talk to you about the catching up and call it a rapture, you'd understand what it is. So anyhow, there's no door that I'm talking about here, but they rejected the Lord. They all denied him. Father, forgive them. So he was buried. Well, when he was raised up, he met with the apostles. So what did it do? and I'm going to use this phrase, it kept the door open for God to then go through the apostles and present the kingdom to Israel. And that's what they did. They started preaching the gospel of the kingdom. When you read articles, whether it's on an independent site, another church, you get literature in the mail, you do the old good old faithful Facebook thing, however you get it. Whenever someone is saying, well, there's the gospel that Peter preached and the gospel that Paul preached, that's good in the sense of there's both a gospel that they both taught. If you were to trust the gospel of Christ, the Spirit of God would put you in the body of Christ that's in existence today. So it began with Paul when he was converted, saved, in Acts chapter 9. He was the first in the body. He received the gospel that he had by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Galatians 1, 11, and 12. And so consequently, the Spirit baptized him into the body of Jesus Christ. Now, during that time, in the Acts 9 area of the account, Peter had a ministry also, and he preached a gospel. Where do you think he got his gospel from? Go to Matthew chapter 4. Look in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Jesus Christ is preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. Back in Matthew chapter 4. Well, was this gospel of the kingdom, preached after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ? I think it's a very valid question, don't you? Look in Matthew 24. Now, what the Lord is talking about here, what he is saying is said, and this is, you got to understand this. What he says in Matthew 24 is said in the context of him being out of this world, apart from them, because he's telling them what's coming upon them with him being gone. And basically what it leads up to is in verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Well, who is the abomination of desolation? Well, we know it is the Antichrist. So after his ascension, guess who was supposed to come onto the scene? The Antichrist, the abomination of desolation. So what is he preparing them to go through?
Tribulation.
Did you ever think that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the doctrine of Jesus Christ to prepare them to go through the tribulation? Hence their tribulation books. Doesn't ever get taught, but that's what they were. He was preparing them according to the prophetic time chart. They were going into the tribulation. So he's preparing them. I mean, isn't it ironic that 2,000 years ago, he told them, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation as spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, he's telling them about it. And since then, 2,000 years has come by and it hadn't happened. Well, then if it wasn't going to happen and he knew it and they knew it, why warn them about it? Because according to the prophetic time chart, it should have taken place here. But it was all incumbent upon one thing, and that is Israel receiving their king. They didn't do it here. They denied him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So you come on the other side. The king has been rejected from the kingdom, but God forgave them, then raised up the apostles, and look what they're going to be doing. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and shall the end come. Well, what's going to be preached? Gospel of the kingdom. Well, we saw in Matthew 4, what was he preaching there? Gospel of the kingdom. Folks, nothing changed. So when someone comes up to you and says, well, Peter preached the gospel and Paul preached the gospel, you got to know. You got to know what these gospels are, because Peter did preach a gospel. And I could throw it out there and you could have people sitting and listening to me and they don't think there's a difference when you say, well, Peter preached the gospel and Paul preached the gospel. It sounds all the same. But when you get specific to what it really is, it is gospel, which means what? It's a good news of the kingdom. Well, it was good news here because the king is here. But they rejected him. Well, how is it good news here? Because you can now, since he's been raised up and you've been forgiven of denying him, you can repent, get baptized, and your sins until his return were in remission. In other words, those that would be put to death by the Antichrist, if they died in faith without denying him, they would die with their sins in remission, meaning they wouldn't be put to their account. The sins wouldn't. So he tells them, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Because when Peter is preaching that, the Lord's up here in heaven. So what is Peter preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. What's the good news? The good news is the king that you, with murderous hands and blood on your hands, that you denied before Pilate was crucified, God forgave you of denying him, putting him away, actually blaspheming. That man that you crucified has been raised up. And I'm preaching him to you. And the good news is you can repent, get baptized in his name, by the way, and get remission of sins. And when he returns, your sins will be blotted out. Will it still then remain the good news of the kingdom? So what did Israel do? They all migrated to Jerusalem to have this great celebration to receive the return of their king, right? They started killing the apostles and the disciples. And the ring leader was Saul. It was Saul. Let me ask you something. When the tribulation comes, the Christians of that time, are they going to be persecuted by the Jews? Hang on. Were they persecuted here during the days of Peter? Who was the ring leader? Who headed it up? Paul. Was Paul a Jew?
Yes.
Then when you go into the tribulation, don't let people convince you that it's all Gentiles there that's going to persecute those Jews. There's a line of Jews that is going to be existing there that's going to persecute them. Paul is that type of individual. And so, because there was a wholesale rejection and they're killing the apostles, God then stopped the program, so we never got into that time of the appearing of the Antichrist, as spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So all these that died off, that died in faith, went down to Abraham's bosom. God couldn't condemn them to hell. Why? Because they maintained the faith, right? Therefore, their sins were in remission, so he didn't apply the condemnation to them. So consequently, when he does return, they're going to come up into the kingdom. They're going to be raised up into the kingdom. And those that do then go through this time of tribulation, and they make it through there, when the Lord returns, what is he going to do with their sins? They'll be blotted out, Acts 3:19. Peter knew exactly what he was preaching about. So then, someone says, well, if you hear the gospel that Peter preached, you go into the kingdom. You hear the gospel that Paul preached, you go in the body. And he doesn't agree with it. I mean, I don't see where it's difficult. Let me ask you this. If an individual, and there was, heard Peter's preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, and they did, how in the world could those individuals be placed into the body of Christ? At one time, there wasn't even a body in existence. How could they be placed in there? I mean, Ephesians 3:6 explains it to a T. Let's turn there. Ephesians 3:6. Now, he's writing to these Gentiles, And he's writing to them because there's been a dispensation that was given to Paul for you Gentiles. And he tells them in verse 6 that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well then, we know that the gospel is the gospel of Christ. It's not the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 6, by the gospel. Paul said in Galatians 1:11, the gospel that I preached is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So the gospel that Paul had is definitely, absolutely different than the gospel that Peter had. They're not the same. So when he said that you're members of the body, Ephesians 3:6, by the gospel, he's referring to his gospel. That's not difficult. That you Gentiles, how's it worded so I don't mess it up, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So when Paul preached the gospel of Christ to people, what happened to them? They were all placed into the body of Christ. Just like we in this room, we trust Jesus Christ. We're in the same body that Paul was in. But Paul's gospel is one that he received by revelation of the Lord, and it is not the gospel that Peter preached. Therefore, those that believed the gospel of the kingdom were not put into the body of Jesus Christ. They weren't. Now, the loco teaching says this. Now, I'm just addressing issues out there. The rapture takes place. We go up. 7 years tribulation. The Lord returns. We come back down with them. When we looked at the teaching of Jesus Christ back here, in Matthew 24, he warned them of the coming doom that's going to take place with the abomination of desolation. Meaning, they're going to go through it. However, this generation did not go through it. They didn't. Because there was an untoward generation, as Peter called them, that rejected the Lord. And so there's no other re-offering of the kingdom other than here and now. But when you kill the messengers, you're not receiving the message, are you? So it got put off, and they're going to resume after we're out of here. And there are some saints that are going to go through the worst time this earth has ever seen. They're going to go through it now. I'm just thinking, here's the goose. The goose is going to go through the oven, for those listening to this. Tribulation, the saints are the goose. And I'm just using application here because I got a good one coming. If they go through the tribulation, if they go through the heat, the fire, then the body of Christ is a gander. Why isn't it good for the gander? Meaning, why in the world is the Lord taking us out and still leaving saints to go through the kingdom? If it's good for the goose, why ain't it good for the gander? Say, well, I want to get out of here. Don't you think they would too? They can't. Why? They have an inheritance waiting for them that they've got to endure persecution to get into. We don't have to endure persecution to get into it. Once we trust Christ, we have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. When you trust Christ, you're there. You just have to put this body of flesh off to fulfill the whole fulfillment of your existence up there. You're already transported to the kingdom that you're going to inherit. It's the kingdom of His dear Son, far above all heavens. We don't have to endure persecution to get there. We just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured the persecution on our behalf. But those under Peter's ministry and those in the tribulation, it is appointed to them that they've got to go through this time, and it's a weeding out. It is like putting them through the fire, and if they make it through the fire, they inherit the kingdom. It doesn't make any sense to say, well, the body of Christ will go up and come right back down, and we inherit this kingdom. Why? Why?
Why?
And if it's good for the goose, why ain't it good for the gander? Let's just play around with that psycho thought and remove the rapture. Woo-hoo-hoo, I said rapture. Let's just change it, all right? Body of Christ now with the rest of them are going through the tribulation. There's a reason why there's a rapture there. Because there is a dispensation here. The dispensation parted in time the prophecy of the coming of the Antichrist. And God selected out a group in this dispensation that He is forming called the body of Christ. And when it's filled up, we go up. There's no more to be added to it. So we go out of here. Where are we going? We're going home. That's our home. Our conversation is in heaven. You go look the word up, conversation. Citizenship. There's a reason why. Thy speech bewrayeth thee. Your conversation tells where you're from. There's a reason why it's written that way. Therefore, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. We're heaven bound. So here's the thing. Because we're all raised up in a world that's ultimately globally directed to go to this kingdom. The problem is the world is directed to go into a kingdom where there's a false king. It's going to be the Antichrist. But you're raised up by his system out here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You ever hear that?
Yeah,
that's the 60s working. Yeah. Domino string bean. That's what I'm talking about.
I had to look around and see if the windows were stained.
Yeah. I saw Jesus in that one the other day. Hey, look, and they've got a support group going on. It's not just them. How about these that go, hello, we're witnessing for Jehovah. You want to talk about it? Where are they going according to their doctrine? They're going here too. So they think. I mean, just take it out. It runs through the system. We've all been exposed to it. So people who can't purge themselves, and when I say people, I'm talking about us that rightly divide, that can't quite purge it out of our system. We won't go, well, Mark, how come we can't go up here and then come around and come back down here? Well, a good question is, why would you want to?
Well, the other got a heavenly inheritance, not an earthly inheritance.
The reason, besides the fact that we've been directed to this ground earth-based kingdom coming all of our lives, and then we get saved and we start seeing these truths, is the fact that, well, the Lord returns here and we're with the Lord. Really? When the Lord died, was buried, what happened to him? Raised up, right? Where is he right now? Where are you? Sitting down right here? And there? So is it possible for you to be with the Lord but yet not be with Him? You darn right you can be. You can have a comprehension with these new bodies we're going to get that we can be up here and have a knowledge of God Almighty. Well, that's bragging. I don't care what you call it. It's correct. Your mind will be joined directly to God Almighty. Is any heart on this earth today hid from God? Isn't he far above all heavens? Because Jesus is there, and where's Christ? Right hand of God, right? In other words, the Lord's up there and he knows everything here. We can be up here and know everything going on right down here. That's our home. And I'd be willing to bet those that teach, well, we're going to go up and turn around and come right back down with the Lord to this earth. I'll guarantee you that those that teach that and believe that, when you get up there, you couldn't take a legion of angels and drag them out of that domain. This thing's going to be a thing of beauty, pristine, that words can't describe. You ain't going to want to leave.
Our inheritance by the scriptures, Israel's, is the earthly kingdom. What they're looking for, like what we're looking for, is the priesthood of the nation. It's not Levites, it's the whole nation.
It is the nation.
And the cutting edge is that they're going to go to the Gentiles.
Exactly.
And it says it time and time again. So you can't put what Paul preached, or where do you put what Paul's preaching that separates the royal holy priesthood that God promised Moses in the priesthood? How can you do that?
How can you do what again?
How can you take the body of Christ, the gospel of Christ, and put it in this priesthood that's going to go out to...
You can't.
I mean, it's specific, and it's not just in one place.
No, it's not.
From Exodus to Peter.
Exactly. There.
It's in Revelation.
That's a royal priesthood that you're talking about. A kingdom of priests. Yeah, I'm not here. Crazy me. Here. And these guys here.
They're looking for that priesthood.
They're looking for the king, but when they go into the kingdom, they become that priesthood unto the king for the Gentiles. If the Gentiles come unto the Lord, they do it through this priestly group out there. We're not that group.
I know, but that was one thing that I've never heard. I mean, I know they're going to be priests and everything, but the promise that God made with them, you know, he told Moses, and Moses went and told them, we're going to do that. And then God vowed, okay, that's it.
All right, we'll turn to Ephesians 2. You said that God promised them, right? You're correct. Watch this, though, in Ephesians 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. In other words, these Gentiles were strangers from the covenants of promise. God never promised the Gentiles to be priests in the priesthood. That was a promise, but it was to Israel, just like you said, right? Well, if, just hypothetically, if by trusting in the gospel that Paul preached put you into the priesthood, then wouldn't Paul have to give doctrine on what is part of our responsibility as priest? Don't you have to know? You see what I'm saying? Wouldn't it be direction? Wouldn't it be, well, one of the things you have to do for the priesthood, the priest have got to be washed. That is Levitical law for the priest. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. That's not making nothing up. So what happens when you run across to Paul? If we're the priesthood, and he says, Christ sent me not to baptize. Oh, you got trouble.
Plus, you got to have your garments on.
Got to have the proper garment according to Levitical law. You cannot be diseased. That's why he preached the gospel of the kingdom in the synagogue and healing all manner of diseases among the people. Why? So they repent, they get baptized, they're part of the priesthood, and they have that physical perfection that a priest has got to have to carry out the priesthood. Over here, boom, none of that. That's why in Acts, when Peter and John went into the temple, and that lame man from his mother's womb was laying out there shaking the can for money, silver and gold have we none, but be healed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it say he jumped up and ran around. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he got healed because he's part of this group now. He's going to become or go into the kingdom to be in the priesthood. But that doesn't happen here. I mean, yeah, you say, well, Paul healed people at the start. Well, yeah, it certified his ministry to the Jews who what? Require a sign. So once the Jews, well, they rejected the apostles here, they rejected Paul. And so Paul got the revelation that his ministry now is going to you Gentiles. And he uses the word, and we looked at it, to youward, which shows a direction, like forward. In other words, he got the revelation that his gospel then would be taken out to these Gentiles that had no connection with Israel, and it was going out there. And since that revelation was given to Paul, what has it been? 1900 years. And it's been going youward, youward, youward. And ultimately, it will end. Out we go. And folks, we're going home. This earth is not our home. This is not our home. There's a kingdom we're going to. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, before we read this, let's do a quick little review because this leads up to this verse. It's all about rightly dividing, separating this stuff out. This kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, I showed you earlier on the board that they were to go into the tribulation and the Lord would return in their lifetime, right? So when he returns, what happens? They go into the kingdom. Some will be killed. Some will live through the tribulation and go into the kingdom. The same holds true here, since it didn't happen back here. The same will hold true here. There will be those that are killed, and there'll be those that'll survive and go into the kingdom, right? Let's check out the body of Christ. Verse 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Can flesh and blood inherit the kingdom of God? But you know what, folks? I know for a fact there'll be those alive in their flesh and in their blood, and they're going into the kingdom. They're going to walk right in. The Lord will return, and they'll see his return, and they'll go and go into the kingdom with flesh and blood. That's not what Paul says, is it? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So are there different kingdoms? Yes. There's a kingdom up here that flesh and blood cannot inherit. That's the reason why he's taking us out. Not just taking us home, but to a place where he's got to take us out, transform these bodies that Cain inherited. Other than that, he could have just left us here to go through the tribulation. There's a purpose for the rapture. It's not just to take us home, but we've got to, because of inheritance rights, we've got to be changed to be fit for that celestial inheritance that we have. Because there's a body terrestrial and there's a body celestial. And the body terrestrial is flesh and blood, and it can't handle, it can't inherit the kingdom that we're going to. This one, yeah, it can. Talks about reproduction. Someone 100 years old be like a kid in this kingdom. They're going to reproduce and repopulate. Jokes are everywhere here, but you got to say it. You got to have flesh and blood to do that. I mean, just how it is, right? So I know there'll be flesh and blood here. Will there be flesh and blood here, up here? No, there's not. 1 Corinthians 15:50. That's what he's talking about. Two different inheritances. And folks, if you don't see these things, they slide those things in. They go, oh, Peter preached the gospel, Paul preached the gospel. And they don't itemize the things pertaining to it. They do the same thing with the king. Oh, there's a kingdom here and a kingdom there, and they're both the same. No, they're not. No, they're not. So this is the stuff that we're contending with for those of you that don't know. This kind of stuff is going out there. And of course, they've proven that James, that wrote the book of James, is a false disciple. And that John didn't write John. Lazarus wrote it. Oh, I'm telling you, man. Oh, yeah. So I'm just telling you what's going on. And it ain't from without. It's those that were within. That's why I put on Facebook 3 weeks ago, I said, we've got a problem with our spiritual sewer line. Sewer's backing up into the house of God. In other words, it's those that have access into our assemblies that are causing this. It's not those out there. That's why I said at the start what I said. I don't think there's much on the outside. No. I mean,
they don't want to have fellowship with us.
Hey, the big churches you're talking about? They don't, hey, we're not even a rock in their shoe, man. They're rocking and rolling. They're turning profits. They're making money. They're filling chairs. They got the highlight. We haven't done anything to any of them. Nothing. It comes from within.
I would dare say, I think if you go to Galatians chapter 1 and you go to 11 and 12.
Right.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, thank you, Peter. I appreciate you saying that. Let's go to Matthew 27, and then go to verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee, to the mount where Jesus was appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus Christ gave, through commandment, through teaching, a revelation to the apostles. They have it's a different dispensation.
Sure it is.
Let the Bible say what it says, as it says it, where it says it.
Yeah, well, they can't do that.
And he says some things to Paul are hard to understand. Do you think he'd be saying that?
Well, you know,